easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is the Kenny and JT Show, powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
We continue all the way through until 7 o'clock tonight. Don't forget Indians baseball later tonight, 8:10 p.m. in Houston against the Cheaters. JC Mejia on the bump tonight for the Indians as they try and beat the Cheaters. Let's see if the Indians can take that momentum from taking 2 out of 3 in Oakland on the road to Houston. So again, 8:10 first pitch, 7:35 pregame with Hammy and Rosie. Well, I look at the calendar, July 19th. That means we are 10 days away from the NBA draft, where right now the Cleveland Cavaliers hold the third overall pick behind Detroit at 1 and Houston at 2. Who will be available? Who will they select there at number 3? Do they get aggressive, move up, move down? We don't know. But if they're sitting there at 3, I think a lot of people think that they could possibly select Jalen Green if he's available, maybe Jonathan Kuminga if he's available, the two G League Ignite guys. And to talk more about that, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline. We bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice for the Canton Charge. I don't know if they've changed them to the Cleveland Charge or what the name is. We're still waiting on that, but he's Scotty Zarilla. He's going to call the games no matter what they're called. How you doing, Scotty?
I am great, Kenny. JT, great to talk to you guys.
Hey, we appreciate you joining us. And, I want to get as many guys on as I possibly can to enlighten our listeners about, the potential picks by the Cavaliers. And let's be honest, a lot of us did not see Jalen Green play in high school, maybe missed him in the G League, same with Jonathan Kuminga. So you got to call some games involving these guys. You got to talk to people about these two G League Ignite guys. So, Scotty, I want your input on it, and let's start with the guy that's ranked higher in most of the boards that I see, and that's Jalen Green, who's the shooting guard and averaged about 18 points a game for the G League team this year. Give me your thoughts on Jalen Green and what you were able to see and what you took away.
Kenny, I love him. I think he's the best prospect available. Now, of course, I didn't see everybody else all the time, but what I saw it for Jalen Green to know that he's got the upside. That, and I hate, Kenny, we're all so quick to compare a guy to a professional player. It's always going to be like this guy. I hate to do that. I hate to be that guy. But Jalen Green, to me, he looks like he reminds me of like Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz. This off-the-charts athlete that can score any way he wants. And I tell you what, like I said, I've been telling everybody who asked, I think in 3 to 5 years, he's going to be the best player out of this draft. I really believe that.
Scotty, to understand this a little bit more for Kenny and myself anyway, we have to first figure out the G League. Now, we understand we've been to a couple of Canton Charge games, but these players we're talking about, are they just from the Ignite team? And what type of a drop-off is there between the Ignite and the remainder of the G League?
They're all pretty similar in the sense that because the Ignite team that Green and Kuminga played on, that was a team that was also filled with some former NBA players. Remember Jarrett Jack? He played for the Cavaliers. Amir Johnson, a long career in the NBA. Bobby Brown played. Brandon Ashby. Those are some guys that have NBA experience. They were there to try to help these guys off the floor as much as on the floor. Anybody that I've spoke to who's far smarter than me will tell you that the G League really is the second best league in the world behind the NBA. There's plenty of talent in Europe and China and plenty of, you know, leagues around the world. And I've talked to former Charge players in the past month about their time around the world and asked them for that same comparison. And they all say the same thing, that it's the NBA, it's the G League, and it's basically everybody else. So the level of talent is about as good as you're going to get compared to the NBA.
And yet that talent, most of it, resides with Team Ignite?
No. You go around the league, there's a lot of different talent. And then, you know, that's the funny thing, because there are folks that, and I understand it, you know, between college and the NBA, a lot of folks either don't have the time or don't have the interest in the G League. But there's a lot of guys. I mean, there's over 50% of the players in the NBA that have G League experience. And it would take me all night to name them all. Mm-hmm. But like Pascal Siakam, Rudy Gobert, Danny Green, I'm trying to think of guys off the top of my head. These guys all played in the G League. Some of them a couple of games, some of them a couple of seasons. You know, Pascal Siakam, Chris Doucet, who has kind of made his mark now with the Toronto Raptors, mm-hmm. He helped the 905 Toronto's team win a championship a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of talent in the G League that you're not aware of today that you're going to see these guys in the NBA in a couple of years ago. Where did these guys come from? And they came from the G League. You just didn't see them.
Yeah, and two names that come to mind that you and I talked about years ago, Scotty, were Seth Curry, right, and Quinn Cook.
Sure.
I was asking you, why aren't these guys at the NBA level yet? And eventually they worked their way there by playing through the G League, right?
You know, here's the thing. You know, I'll tell you another real quick one. Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Joe Harris played for the Canton Chargers, and he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now he is a front-line player for the loaded Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
The thing is, with the two leagues, is that sometimes, and here's Joe Harris is the classic example. The reason it took Joe Harris some time to find his place in the NBA, he played with the Cavs when LeBron James was here and Kyrie Irving. He had a hard time getting meaningful minutes. So he bounced back and forth. But when you're in the NBA, you're sitting on the bench, you don't get any rhythm, you don't get any experience. So then you go to the G League, and you're expected to be a starter and just play with no conscience, be yourself. Well, for some guys, that's kind of a difficult, you know, process to go through. And I really think it took Joe Harris a little bit of time to finally get meaningful minutes with the Charge and then get an opportunity at the NBA level with the Nets to really show what he can do. And he's just one of countless guys that have gone through that process that have now become regular NBA names that everybody knows.
Play-by-play announcer for the Charge, Scotty Zirilla, joining us talking G League Ignite. And one more thing on Jalen Green, then we'll go to Kuminga. Tell me a little bit about his game. What is it that you like? I agree with you. This is going to be a scorer. This is going to be a guy that can maybe lead the league in scoring. I love him as much as you do. You know, what are the strengths? What might be his weaknesses from what you saw or people you talked to?
Well, the thing that I like, again, on top of the athleticism and the fact that he can score however he wants, he's got good size. He's about 6'5", 180 or so. His ball handling, he's a little worse. But, you know, the funny thing, too, guys, is we always forget that, you know, today the NBA guys are coming into the league at 18, 19 years old. So while we like a lot of things that we see, they have a lot of holes in their game still. He needs to be more consistent on defense. His ball handling needs to get a little bit better. But he played all 15 games, and again, it's just like I said, I'm a big, you need to be a ball handler, and you need to have explosive athleticism to succeed in the NBA. And I think he has those. And I'm not going to sit here and pick on Cade Cunningham. I'm not 100% sold on him because I don't think he's a great athlete, and I don't think he's a great ball handler. And so in the NBA, you need to be able to have those two things to be able to create your own shot and to create for other people. And that's why I think Jalen Green is the best player. I think he will be the best player. And between us girls, I'll be honest, I won't be completely shocked. I'll be a little surprised. But it would not shock me at all for Jalen Green to go number one to Detroit. I really believe that.
Wow. We're talking to Scotty Zarilla, G League announcer with the Canton Charge. And, Kenny, you mentioned it. You know, we think they're going to go. We don't know if they're going to be called the Charge next year or not. Only thing we know is that they will not be playing in Canton any longer. And I've got to ask you this question, you know, concerning the move. I want to ask you, because we didn't get to that many games when they were here, and I want to ask you is, what was the reception like in Canton, and what do you feel and what do you expect the reception will be in Cleveland?
Well, I can't speculate what it's going to be, but I certainly can tell you what it was. And I thought that, and I speak for not only myself, but I know the organization overall, not only the fans, but the community and the city itself, the mayor, they took care, such good care of us in the 10 years. I got to know so many people, and I'm not going to say friends, but you guys, you're in the media, you have your listeners, and when you see them out and about, you have this little bit of a relationship. And I just thought that under the circumstances, just being there for 10 years, I just thought it was fantastic. And I couldn't have asked for, we couldn't have asked for really a better relationship that we had with the city and with the fans through the first 10 years. I really enjoyed my time down there.
First of all, it's amazing to me it's been 10 years. I mean, that flew by.
Oh, believe it. You're kidding me. You're telling me.
Wow.
Yeah. And Scotty, and here's the thing. And the move was made because most of the NBA teams are doing this. They want their team in the city if they can, the host city. So they're moving them downtown to the Wohlstein Center. And we get that. And we'll see what they're called come next season. So a tip of the cap to, you know, the city of Canton for the 10 years that they were here. Mayor Burnaby, a great job, and his entire staff. So you'll get to call them next year. But you got a chance to call games with Jonathan Kuminga as well. So we talked about Jalen Green. What did you see in Kuminga? Because I'm hearing the Cavaliers, they've worked him out twice now, once in Chicago, pro day, and then once privately. What did you see in Jonathan Kuminga's game that maybe the Cavaliers love?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, he's got that prototypical small forward wing. We call them small forwards anymore, they're wings. But, you know, the Cavaliers right now are in kind of need of a wing to go along with what they've got in the backcourt. And size-wise, coming at about 6'8", 205, he's lean and muscular, but he's got the frame that he can get bigger. And again, I'm not going to compare him to Giannis, but remember when Giannis first came about, he was tall, but he was thin. He's a tank now because he had that frame. Kuminga's got the frame to where he can become even bigger and stronger and fill out. And with his athleticism, his ability to put it on the floor, he can score on the inside, he can score on the outside, he defends multiple positions. Now, Jalen Green got all the talk, but Kuminga wasn't too far from that conversation. And if you guys remember, maybe you don't even know this, back in the high school class of 2020, Jalen Green was the number one prospect. Kuminga was number four. I mean, he was right there in the same conversation. And, again, here's a kid that averaged about 16 points per game. His shooting needs work. He doesn't necessarily have the best shot selection. But as I said earlier, 18, 19 years old, there's so much of these games that you can tighten up a little bit. Once he learns to take better shots, all those percentages are going to come up and he's going to become much more efficient. So I really like him as well. I don't know that he's a 1-3-3 guy. I don't know if he's necessarily a four guy when you put Jalen Suggs in the conversation, but I certainly agree with most of the experts out there. You know, you've got Scotty Barnes and Kuminga as pretty much the top five and six guys. And I got a quick story for you, real quick, on Jonathan Kuminga. You guys will find interesting. He grew up in the Congo. When he was a kid, which wasn't that too many years ago, he had no television. So he didn't get to watch NBA games. He had to watch video highlights at, like, this local cafe, the internet cafe, like in the small village or town that he grew up in. That's where he learned about basketball, and he fell in love with Kobe Bryant at this little internet cafe, watching all of his highlights. I thought that's just such a fantastic story.
That's amazing. You know, one of the other things, Scotty, is the fact that we want to see, you know, we always hear about the one and dones, and you're going to go here, you're going to go there, but all of a sudden, before the name, image, and likeness thing passed at the NCAA level, we, Kenny and I, both agreed, why wouldn't you bypass college if you're good enough to go get paid and get paid handsomely in the G League, you know, upwards around $500,000, and get that experience? And if isn't that the case that most of these players would make themselves eligible for the NBA draft, why wouldn't you do it? So I guess the real question here now is, how will the G League affect the NCAA?
Well, I tell you what, I wish I was smart enough to have that answer. Because if I was, I'd probably be doing something else for either the NBA or the C-League front office. I'm not sure, but, you know, it's drifting away from the emphasis for players that have a future in the NBA. The emphasis on education is beginning to wane. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it for years. You know, we can go all the way back to 2003 with LeBron James. You go back to, was it, 95 with Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, when they're good enough and they're told that they are good enough to make a career in the NBA and make millions of dollars and be the stars that everyone knows, I'm certainly not going to tell somebody to don't go and do it. But I think in the situation that of Green and Kuminga, I think that the experience that they got, again, with some of those NBA players that I mentioned earlier, off the floor as well as on the floor, I think it benefits them in the long run for what their ultimate future is going to be, which is NBA basketball. And again, to become a millionaire at 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And I can't question it, and I'm not going to. For the players that feel as though they may not have the future, they may dip their toes in the water of the NBA combines, and they get some feedback. Do they think they're going to be able to make the NBA or get drafted? As long as they don't, if you're noticing, they go back to school or they go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that as well. So I think it's each individual situation, but speaking from personal preference, personal experience, when I was 17, 18, I knew I was not going to the NBA. So I didn't have that issue. That was never a problem for me. I knew at an early age I was too short, too not good enough, so I changed my direction and went into broadcast.
Well, you and me both, Scotty, and that's where we met up many, many years ago at Cablevision, and we're both still doing it somehow, some way in the business of what we love, and it's good to hear from you again. Thanks for making time for us, giving us some insight on Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. You and I are in agreement. Give me Jalen Green somehow, some way for the Cavaliers at 3, or even if they have to move up and get him, because I want him to be the starting shooting guard for the Cavaliers next season, Scotty.
Like I said, I've been wrong. I will be wrong again, but I really believe in 3 to 5 years that some of the other guys on this list are going to be really good. I still think Jalen Green is going to turn out to be the best.
Appreciate the call, Scotty. Thanks so much. Be well, my friend. We'll talk again down the road.
Great talking to you guys. Take it easy.
Scott Cirilla checking in with us here on the Kenny and JT Show. He's the Charge play-by-play voice, and he got to call the games with Kuminga, with Jalen Green, and here's the thing that stands out to me about those two, okay? These guys, JT, played NBA rules for 15 games. It's only 15 games, but they didn't have the college three-point line. They didn't have the college rules, five fouls and all the other rules, halves and all. They played NBA rules.
Right.
To me, they're a step ahead of the college players.
Not only that, Kenny, had there not been the one-and-done rule and they wouldn't have been paid to go to the G League, they'd have came straight out of high school and into the NBA anyway. So
yeah,
they got the 1 year of experience under their belt. They are NBA players for all intents and purposes.
Right.
The only difference is now they're top 10. You know, they're going to go in this draft. They're going to be lottery picks, both of them probably, you know, most likely in the
lottery,
top 5.
They're going to both go top 5, yeah.
You know, I mean, so, I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, that's the main thing. So, I mean, NCAA now has to look hard at themselves and figure out with the NIL, are they going to revisit this situation and make them go at all or just let them go straight to the NBA?
Yeah, so there you go. More insight on that as we're 10 days away from the NBA draft. We're going to break in right now. Hang with us. Back right after this.